seat with the kids?
No, they spilled chocolate milk on the new couch, and I'm counting so that I won't yell at them.
You bought a new couch?
Patience. Use it before you lose it.
10, 9.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For practical ideas you can use in your family, visit family.mormon.org.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. After a day of highs in the upper 60s, it was quite comfortable. We're headed for 51 overnight, with clouds and occasional showers overtaking the area. A steady rain tomorrow morning. Look for showers to continue on Thursday afternoon with a high of 59. Tomorrow night, looks like the rain continues, and Friday, no break either, with a 1 in 2 opportunity for precipitation with a high around 69.
The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kinkill. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, we're working for you. Now, Bob Kinkill.
Almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock. It's kind of a drizzly Wednesday night in beautiful uptown Beckley. It is, in fact, our prayer meeting edition of Head On.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
And we'll try to make every bit as much sense as that. I am Bob Kinkaid. This is Brother Bob's Cathedral of Common Sense, and you're welcome to join in. The phone numbers, of course, 252-6200, round hereabouts, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. That's WWNR, just like we are, on your telephone keypad. And a little something new to add, we're also star 620, a free call on your West Virginia wireless device. So maybe that might make things a little bit easier. And for that matter, just so maybe they'll know, let us know if you're calling in on your West Virginia wireless device. Oodles of stuff out there today, not the least of which, a reminder by all means, tomorrow, make sure you're with us as the show begins. A very special guest will be phoning in, God willing, and the creek don't rise, to wit, Morgan Spurlock, Academy Award-nominated director, producer, and guinea pig of Super Size Me. And he's got a new book out, sort of a follow-up to Super Size Me. It's called Don't Eat This Book, and a lot of it is concerned with a lot of other things you also should not eat and the darn good reason for not doing so. So be here. I'm looking forward to our conversation with Morgan Spurlock, and hopefully you'll enjoy it as well. The book, I finished it. They sent me a review copy. It's a dandy, and it really will make you think, especially if you've got kids. And this is not a matter of hammering the school system per se. It's an endemic problem across the country. But it'll make you think about what your kids eat. As you probably know, I love my children dearly, and I love my wife dearly. But after reading this book, one of my daughters and my lovely wife were all out gallivanting about today, and came home with with a certain fast food company's cups in their hands. I don't want to get in any grief, and I just cringed because Morgan Spurlock lays it all out. He tells you what goes into that food that's fast. He also goes into school lunches and the corporatization of the way we feed our, and presents a number of novel solutions that he's discovered that have worked over the course of the last couple of years that have taken root in various school systems, various communities. So by all means, if you feel so inclined, and I encourage you, you'll be glad you read this one. Don't Eat This Book by Morgan Spurlock. If you go to whiterosesociety.org, the link there to Powell's books, and you can probably... the other thing this is, I've been paying attention all day long, spelling bee time. It can't help but well up less than fond memories for me. I watched a child step up to the microphone, and you know these things are fraught with stress and pressure. And in some ways, I suppose that's good for a student because it teaches you to think under the gun, so to speak. Watched a child step up to the microphone, and they said, "Eviscerate." And she said, "Definition, please." And they said, "To disembowel, to remove the insides of a person or critter." And she said, "Word origin, you know, the stall tactics that you can." Come on. I feel like I'm being eviscerated right here on national television, mommy. And word origin, Latin. And bless her heart, she was one letter off. And, you know, if you don't hear the ding, that means you move on. And I swear, I think whoever's in charge of the little bell sometimes has a mean streak. Because, well, it's like in baseball, when the guy's standing there and he thinks he's taken the fourth ball, only it turns out to be the third strike, and he gets ready to toss the bat away and head for first, and the ump goes, "Punch out! Yeah. Sit down." Well, the bless her little heart, the girl spelled eviscerate to the best of her abilities. And she, no ding. So she turns and she takes the first step and ding. But it does bring back a boatload of memories for me. Because I too, once upon a time, when the world was young and dinosaurs roamed the earth, I was a kid, too. I was in the spelling bee. I was the hope of the seventh grade. Seventh. I studied. You know, the Scripps Howard News Service gives you the little booklet, or at least they used to. I don't know if they still do or not. But they give you the little booklet, and it's just full of words. Worked on those words. Memorized those words. Felt like I was pretty well set. And I made it through several rounds. Number of rounds. And, you know, well on my way to winning. And I think it got down to where there were three or four of us left. And I stood up, and the person who was giving the words looked at me and said, "Yes?" I said, And I said, "Yes." This is the kind of thing that can only happen to me. And it was fast evolving into some sort of a comedy routine. "No, your word is And I can't tell you that the whole raft of emotions that I went through hearing that my word was And, you know, you can stall for time by saying, "Definition, please." And I think I did that. Word origin, and I think I did that. And I said, "Are we talking about the noise that Charlie Brown makes when he arg? Are we talking about the Charlie Brown makes when he tries to kick the football?" I was a sea of disgust. I was ready for deoxyribonucleic. Okay, I was ready for Carthaginian. I was ready for eviscerate, frankly. I got You know, you got And I said, "UG. I'm sorry, it's UGH. When you're a kid and you're learning about sportsmanship and doing the right thing, sometimes when you get beat, you just got to understand you got beat. But you gave it your best." All that just went out the window. No, I didn't, you know, I didn't yell or scream or throw anything. But to this day, I have my seventh grade annual signed by several of my classmates and dedicated to That most hated of radio words, That most hated of interview words, And, one more question there, ma'am. Was it? I don't remember. So, congratulations to every, and I understand our own entrant, this area is still in the running, or was. So by all means, congratulations to everyone who made it to the spelling bee. And in the sweet name of all that's holy, I hope nobody gets stuck with, this is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Where there's a tornado,
where there's a forest fire,
where Mother Nature is at her worst,
where there's a search,
where there's a rescue,
where there are Americans in need,
where there,
when disaster strikes,
or one volunteer force,
helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done,
we are the Civil Air Patrol,
the official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
You know us. We're your neighborhood Leader drugstore. Independently owned by people who care, we're able to give you fast, friendly service, and we're proud of our prices. Generic, Leader brand, or national, Leader prices are hard to beat.
You really can save. Leader TruTrack blood glucose monitoring system, only $19.99, and 50-count test strips, only $23.99. This month only at participating stores. Compare and save, and you'll see why Leader is the place to go.
Leader, it's your neighborhood. It's your drugstore. And now, today's health report. Cold hearts. If you are given a wintry welcome at birth, you may be a candidate for future heart problems, say researchers at the University of Bristol in the UK. During a recent study of older women, published in the journal Heart, archived weather data was analyzed to determine the outdoor temperature at the time and place of each participant's birth. Findings showed women born during colder weather had a 24% higher risk of heart disease as they aged. Lower temperatures were also linked to insulin problems, high triglyceride levels, and decreased lung function. The study's authors say it's possible exposure to the cold results in increased fat storage and insulin resistance, which can be contributing factors to coronary heart disease. But don't panic yet. Further studies are needed to verify the results. This has been today's health report to help you stay healthier longer, brought to you by Leader Drugstores. Find the location of the Leader Drugstore nearest you at myleader.com. Leader Drugstores. It's your neighborhood. It's your drugstore.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 20 minutes after 7 o'clock. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. We stream live for you every night on the internet at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. And, of course, if you should have to bail out mid-show or run out of signal, or archives for Head On at benbirch.org and catch up maybe. Now, thinking about the spelling bee, talked last night about the fact that Dear Leader had a news conference in, see, there's that word, I hate that, in the Rose Garden. We've got a soundbite from that. And it works well with the spelling bee, so let's go right ahead. John, you got that there?
You know, the detainees, we've had thousands of people detained. We've investigated every single complaint against the detainees. It seemed like to me they based some of their decisions on the word of and the allegations by people who were held in detention, people who hate America, people that have been trained in some instances to disassemble. That means not tell the truth.
God.
So it's an absurd report. It just is. And, you know. Yes, sir.
Now, I want you to understand that there, dadgummit, that was spelled U-H-H-H-H. That's what got me going about it. But did you catch the gist of this? You got that? Yeah, okay. I want to make sure that I read this. What did he say? Yeah. people that have been trained in some instances to disassemble. 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 D-I-S-A-S-S-E-M-B-L-E. Disassemble. Definition, please. To take apart. We are in the hands of an idiot. Trained in some instances to disassemble. That means to not tell the truth. No, it doesn't, you doofus. It means to take apart. What Dim Sun is probably trying to come up with is dissemble. Dissemble. D-I, oh, I don't know. D-I-S-S-E-M-B-L-E, dissemble, to lie. Calling Dr. Freud, emergency, come right away. George Bush dissembles when he says disassemble. Oh, let's hear it again, John.
In terms of, you know, the detainees, we've had thousands of people detained. We've investigated every single complaint against the detainees. It seemed like to me they based some of their decisions on the word of and the allegations by people who were held in detention, people who hate America, people that have been trained in some instances to disassemble.
Ah!
That means not tell the truth.
No, it doesn't.
And so it's an absurd report. It just is. And, you know. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sirree, Bob. Boy, howdy. What do you do with that? I honest to God, I could do a two-hour monologue on that soundbite. To dissemble. To dissemble might be, for instance, to say that the allegations were made because people hate America. That would be to dissemble, to be less than forthcoming, to engage in mendacity. That's dissembling. Dissembling is when you stand before the people of the United States of America and declare no decision has been made about going to war when you've already sat down with your British counterparts and decided to fix the facts around the decision, as is made clear in the Downing Street memo. That's dissembling. Dissembling is when you say, mission accomplished, and 1,600 more people die. That's dissembling. Disassembling, on the other hand, is what should be done with this presidency, much as was done with the Nixon administration. It should be taken apart from the top down. And many, if not all, of the members of said administration forthwith transported to Fort Leavenworth. And I do not disassemble when I say that. B's even got me doing it. I do not dissemble when I do that. Dissemble, D-I-S-S-E-M-B-L-E, dissemble. Now, if the god of irony was really wide awake on the job, dissemble would be like the winning word in the spelling bee this time through. And, of course, I've read the Amnesty International report, and it's not absurd. It's full of lots of interesting facts, not the least of which, well, I got an email here from our FOB friend of Bob, Charlie. And we've got kind of a history, because do you remember back when I took the time to find out that the BTK killer was a registered Republican? It got some people up in arms, not the least of whom was Charlie, and he took issue with me and was rather upset. But we emailed back and forth, and he's been listening to the show. And he, like many people, understands that I'm just here doing facts. And he says, you're right, the more you look at what our president is trying to do to us, the more you are shocked. We've spent so much money in other countries that we are screwing our own. Bush is trying and doing a hell of a job of getting rid of the grants and cutting the budget of the Violence Against Women Act. They wonder why women won't get out of the house when they're getting the hell beat out of them. It's because they don't feel safe anywhere they go. The Women's Resource Center has gates, and there's no way a man, or in his book, can get to the kids and the women he likes to hit. The entire staff has been cut down to 32 hours per week, and they live on donations from the community. The new director said that at one time churches were a large part of the money coming in. Well, I guess they found other ways to spend their money. And he says, what can we do to help? And I sent back some suggestions. He says, our job as members of the human race is to help those that can't help themselves. Yes, yes, yes. However, one-tenth of women and their children don't know this place is there. Men who beat women and children are not real men. Let's help the people that think they have no choice but to take the beatings. Amen. And it's funny the way things happen. There's nothing funny in that. But as it turns out, I was doing my research for the show, and again, I have a copy of the Amnesty International report. And you see, it's classic tactic to attack the one point in something. This administration has raised it to a high art to attack one point in the report, and therefore, by definition, dismiss the entirety of the report. Just as the Quran in the toilet, tempest in a teapot, was used to dismiss all the other allegations that have been made about the treatment of our prisoners of war, our kidnappees in Guantanamo, and George's rape rooms at Abu Ghraib. And so, tucked away in the report from Amnesty International is a segment regarding violence against women. And the report says this: women and girls remained at serious risk of human rights violations across the Americas. The Inter-American Convention on the Prevention, Punishment, and Eradication of Violence Against Women, in other words, a treaty, the Inter-American Convention on the Prevention, Punishment, and Eradication of Violence Against Women, which marked its 10th anniversary, had received more ratifications than any other treaty on human rights in the region. Only Canada and the United States had failed to ratify. So, thanks for the email, Charlie, and I ask you and I ask others, what kind of a nation are we that will not ratify a treaty on the eradication of violence against women? The report goes on to state, according to a study by the Organization of American States, over 100,000 men, women, and children were trafficked across Latin America and the Caribbean each year, 80% of them women, most of them for the purposes of sexual exploitation. Hey, how about that? Let's have a round of applause, everybody, for George Bush and his Ownership Society. There it is, the Ownership Society. So let's take our bottom of the hour break. Time flies when you're having fun. Your phone calls are welcome at 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Emails, by the way, to Bob at headonradio.com. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A federal judge has thrown out a libel lawsuit brought against the Charleston Gazette by a former Putnam General Hospital orthopedic surgeon. U.S. District Judge Joseph Goodwin dismissed John King's lawsuit because he did not appear for a scheduled deposition earlier this year. King sued the Gazette for publishing statements that raised questions about the legitimacy of his surgical certification. King took issue with a September 03 story in the Sunday Gazette Mail, which questioned the quality of an American Association of Physician Specialists certification. The story quoted a spokesman for the American Medical Association and a spokeswoman for the American Osteopathic Association, saying the groups do not recognize certification from the American Association of Physician Specialists. King became the focus of criticism 2 years ago after some patients complained that they had more pain and problems after being treated by the doctor. It appears that most registered voters in the state do not know much about the upcoming statewide special election. Charleston-based RMS Strategies recently surveyed 401 randomly selected voters Of the voters questioned, roughly 30% say they know nothing about the election. Some say 70%, that is, they have a very little awareness. The survey results were released in Tuesday's edition of Metro News Talkline. RMS spokesman Mark Blankenship says awareness is obviously an issue. He says that's not unusual for a special election. A dispute between federal prosecutors and defense lawyers has revealed extensive surveillance evidence in the ongoing probe into vote buying in Lincoln County. The evidence shows investigators used an undercover informant armed with a hidden microphone and video camera to approach suspects during the 2004 primary. These court filings also show a second informant has implicated Lincoln County Assessor Jerry Weaver in the alleged vote-buying conspiracy. That's the news. Here's the forecast for this evening. Periods of rain. Low tonight around 52. Tomorrow, rain likely with a chance of thunderstorms. Cooler. Tomorrow's high near 60. Tomorrow night, a chance of showers with a low near 53. And a chance of showers and thunderstorms again on Friday with Friday's high in the mid-60s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
An agreement has been reached between United Airlines and the International Association of Machinists that averts a strike. The agreement comes on the very day a Chicago bankruptcy judge was set to rule on whether or not to throw out United's union contracts. Machinists Union spokesperson Frank Larkin.
We were able to reach an agreement with United Airlines on a proposal that will cover all outstanding issues, including a replacement pension plan for 20,000 IAM members at United. The judge did not rule on the contract abrogation that was before him, and instead added time for both sides to work out the final details in order to have a formal tentative agreement that can be presented to the members.
United's Mechanics Union also reached an agreement Tuesday with the airline averting a strike.
People with disabilities protested in front of the U.S. Department of Education on May 26 over proposed plans to cut programs. Dolores and Brunel was there for WIN.
The Rehabilitation Services Administration is the agency in charge of administering programs for the disabled, and it's run by the Education Department. Advocates for the disabled have been told about plans by the administration to close 10 regional RSA offices, major staff cuts, and the elimination of the Division for the Deaf and the Blind. Joanne Wilson was the top person with a disability to serve under the Bush administration. She was appointed in 2001 as the commissioner for the RSA. But after seeing repeated cuts to programs for the disabled over the years, she resigned this past March in protest.
What will happen is that people with adults with disabilities will not have specialized funds, specialized programs, specialized personnel that will work with them to get them back living independently, going to work, and living the American dream.
Dolores Bernal, Workers Independent News, Washington.
Four labor unions are seeking to test the strength of labor rights on Indian property. The Teamsters are joining forces with the Communication Workers, Food and Commercial Workers, and the United Auto Workers to organize Buffalo's Seneca Niagara Casino. Initially, the Teamsters were attempting to organize just the car dealers, but with the other unions on board, are seeking to unionize the whole casino. The unions are concerned that preferential treatment of Senecas promotes discrimination amongst the majority of non-Indian workers. It is unclear if unions will be recognized in Seneca Nation. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. It pays to be the boss. A recent study from Mercer Home Resource Consulting found that 2004 saw the biggest jump in CEO pay in 10 years. While the median salary and bonus for the head honcho jumped by 14.5% to $2.5 million, white-collar workers saw the smallest wage increase in a decade, only 2.5%. Real wages have been consistently trailing inflation, which saw an increase of 3.3% last quarter. That's a hefty blow when rising health care costs and the gutting of pensions are factored in.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley.
A man who just loves conservatives. Baked, boiled, or fried. Here is Bob Kincaid.
So, we know, I'm Bob Kincaid, we know that George Bush's ownership society is on its way because about 80,000 women are trafficked in the Americas for sexual slavery, and the United States will not ratify the Prevention, Punishment, and Eradication of Violence Against Women Treaty. Charming. But you're going to love this one, too. Again, from the Ownership Society file, the Associated Press, liberals, reading straight from it. They fed them well. The Pakistani tribesmen slaughtered a sheep in honor of their guests. Arabs and Chinese Muslims famished from fleeing U.S. bombing in the Afghan mountains. But their hosts had ulterior motives to sell them to the Americans, said the men who are now prisoners at Guantanamo Bay.
Well, see, they had been trained to disassemble because they hate America.
Guess what? It wouldn't surprise me if we paid rewards, said a former CIA intelligence officer who helped lead the search for Osama bin Laden. He said U.S. allies regularly got money to help catch Taliban and al-Qaeda fighters. Gary Schroen said he took a suitcase of $3 million in cash into Afghanistan himself to help supply and win over warlords to fight for U.S. special forces. Remember when John Kerry said that maybe we should have sent the first team in to do Tora Bora instead of unreliable bought for hire Afghan warlords? Remember that? Yeah, turns out he was right. So one detainee who said he was an Afghan refugee in Pakistan also accused that country's intelligence service of trumping up evidence against him to get bounty money from the U.S.
But they're disassembling.
We bought. You and me. We, you see, we bought prisoners to ship to Guantanamo. What was that Charlie mentioned about the funding for the Women's Resource Center?
Yeah. Gonna have an ownership society.
Bounties range from $3,000 to $25,000. The detainees testified under oath during military tribunals. According to transcripts, the U.S. government... Now, see, this isn't Newsweek. This is us. The U.S. government gave the Associated Press in order to comply with a Freedom of Information lawsuit.
Well, there's some things we just don't need to know, daggummit. We don't need to know that George W. Bush is out there buying people to kidnap and send to Guantanamo then throw their Korans in the toilet. Hang them up by their thumbs. Leave them out in the sun. We don't need to know that. It ain't good for America.
Another prisoner said he was on his way to Germany in 2001 when he was captured and sold for, quote, a briefcase full of money, then flown to Afghanistan before being sent to Guantanamo.
It's obvious.
They knew Americans were looking for Arabs, so they captured Arabs and sold them, just like someone catches a fish and sells it, he said. Detainee who said he was a Saudi businessman claimed the Pakistani police sold me for money to the Americans. How do you feel about that? Does it make you feel a little bit gross? Does it remind you of the days when in Africa one tribe would be encouraged, say by the Portuguese, to sell out members of another tribe and load them in chains into the holds of ships and send them, oddly enough, also to Cuba, usually. Good offloading point. Where they would then be sold into slavery in the United States in our first experiment with an ownership society. We do a lot of nasty things with the tax dollars that you and me. This is one of the lower ones. One detainee said they finally followed a group of Arabs, apparently fighters, being guided by an Afghan to the Pakistani border. Crossed into Pakistan, and there were tribal people there, and they took us to their houses, and they killed the sheep and cooked the meat, and we ate. That night, they were taken to a mosque where about 100 Arabs also sheltered. After being fed bread and tea, they were told to leave in groups of 10. They were taken to a truck. They were driven to a Pakistani prison. From there, they were handed to Americans and flown to Guantanamo. When we went to Pakistan, the local people treated us like brothers and gave us good food and meat, said another detainee. But soon, he said, they were in prison in Pakistan where we heard they sold us to the Pakistani authorities for $5,000 per person. Because, you see, as one person noted, that $5,000, it can be, you do two or three of those, it's enough to take care of your family, your village, your tribe for the rest of your life, pay for livestock and doctors, and school books and housing for all your people. Even if the folks you're selling into slavery aren't guilty of anything, except being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Oh, let's go to the phones. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hello.
How are you?
Reasonably well, sir, and you?
Getting along, a little disgusted.
Oh, I know. Broke, busted, disgusted. Nobody can be trusted.
Ain't it the truth?
Listen, give me a little latitude tonight because there are a couple things I want to say. Will you please?
Okay, I'll do my best.
I understand. You always have. You know, as far as the us are concerned, back in medieval times, you know, basically, a person's guilt or innocence was determined upon his ability to speak clearly and without stuttering or faltering.
Yeah, because stuttering and faltering was...
indication that you were lying. That
or
God
possessed.
Basically, in their belief, that God would give you the ability to speak clearly, distinctly, and without faltering. And if you were innocent, and if you were guilty, well, then you would stutter, and no matter how nervous you might be, you still, well, were judged guilty. And I just thought to myself, and we've got a local politician around here, and I'm not going to call his name, and he is on the morning show sometimes, and I have listened to that when people call me and told me to listen, usually when my name has been taken in vain. And the guy, every other word he says is, and I just wonder if the man has a serious speech impediment. I think you know I'm probably talking about, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Well, anyway, moving on from that, I have a little lesson here I'd like to share with you. It's called Mission Accomplished.
Okay.
And, you know, from August 23rd, 1939 to June 22nd, 1941, the Nazis and the Soviets were allies, okay?
Right.
And my source here is John Tollens, Adolf Hitler, Volume 2, page 743, paragraph 3. And apparently, during the heyday of the Nazi-Soviet Pact, everything was just fine. But then, of course, Hitler began to wash over the deal.
Right.
And Molotov went to Berlin to see what was going on. And, of course, was feted by his German host at the Reich Chancellery and the Soviet Embassy. And Ribbentrop, the German foreign minister, was explaining to the Soviet foreign minister how the British were down and out and how the mission had been accomplished. That Britain was just a power that would soon be gone, and he wanted to show him how they wanted to divide the spoils. Well, just about that time, air raid sirens sounded over Berlin. And when von Ribbentrop persisted that England was beaten, but didn't know it, the Russian replied, quote, if that is so, why are we sitting in this air raid shelter? And whose bombs are those that are falling so close that their explosions can be heard even here? Quote.
Yeah.
You know, that just, when I was reading through that, that just sort of kind of hit me right in the old solar plexus.
Just takes the wind right out of you.
It did, in a way, yeah. It certainly did. And item two has to do with Tom DeLay. And if there are people who are interested in seeing an outside counsel come in, like they, or another independent counsel, like they did with Mr. Clinton, to really eradicate or excise this hideous wart from the face of Congress, they can call Doc Hastings, who's a representative from Republican from Washington,
yeah,
at 202-225-5816, or our own Alan Moynihan, Democrat, West Virginia, the ranking member of the House Ethics Committee, at 202-225-4172, and request that an outside counsel outside the Beltway be appointed to, you know, examine Mr. DeLay and his crimes and send him either to Angola or wherever he would like to go. And that's just one thing that is, there's a move to do that, and you know this whole.
Well,
thing,
isn't from a procedural standpoint though, Jim? Isn't there a little problem with that? Remember when Congress allowed the independent counsel statute to lapse, and Ken Starr came to Congress and recommended that the independent counsel statute be allowed to lapse?
Well, there's a petition now to reinstate that. Nothing is ever set in stone there. You know that it can always be changed. and basically evidence presented that Mr. DeLay has committed some pretty egregious mistakes that need to be addressed.
Did you ever get around to reading about his dealings with the Marianas Protectorate?
Bob, that man has a litany of so many things so long that I have, they all run together. I mean, I have to just, it's like, you know, bullet slides. You have to, you could do an entire PowerPoint presentation on some of the stuff that guy's pulled.
Oh, without a doubt, Jim. But this is one worth your time. Just Google up Tom DeLay Marianas.
Okay.
This is some of this stuff went on during the Clinton administration into the Bush administration. The man was part and parcel, and he was bought and paid for to do it, of going over there and coming back and making sure. You see, if you make a little background, if you make clothing in the Marianas Protectorate.
Correct.
And, of course, you know that includes Saipan.
Right.
If you do that, you get to hang a label on it that says Made in the USA. Okay?
And probably have dirt cheap labor. And
the labor force was not there in order to support this burgeoning clothing industry. So people were brought in from other Asian countries to work in slave labor conditions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they tried to get Kathy Lee on the same type of thing. Is that sort of the same type of thing we're talking about here?
Yeah, kinda, except for the fact that Tom DeLay was instrumental in making sure that the United States did not extend the minimum wage
to that area.
And what's more, Tom DeLay actively engaged in encouraging child prostitution in the Marianas Islands.
Well, I mean, you know, these people are driven to such desperate means of trying to make money when they can't make it any other way. The only thing they have to sell is their bodies, you know, and that's a horrible situation, particularly at the endorsement of this country and at the implementation of the action of the Speaker of the Republican Majority Leader. It really is terrible. I agree with you.
It's enough to turn your stomach, Jim. It really is.
And there's one more little item here.
Go right ahead.
They had an AOL survey about Social Security and whether or not the wealthier people should have to pay the full percentage instead of just up to $9,000. And 72% of the American people say yes. 24% say no, and 4% are undecided. So that's almost 75% or three-fourths of Americans polled think that the rich ought to really pay their fair share.
Carry their weight.
And, you know, I say this, unto whom much is given, a little more is required. And if some of these people wish to sit at the head of the table, then let them help out in the kitchen, as I've said before.
I got no problem with that. And, of course, we've been talking about that for a long time, Jim.
I mean, I have nothing, excuse me, Bob, against wealthy people or people who have a little money. I mean, you know, I'm fortunate enough my family has a little money. But I'll tell you one thing. In spite of what they've had, they've always been in public service in one way or another, in uniform and out.
Yeah.
And they didn't have to be drafted. And, you know, my dad was mayor of my hometown for 30 years, and we had crosses burned in our yards because of the stand he took on civil rights back in the 50s and 60s. And I can remember those crosses being burned as a boy in the front yard. So, I mean, you know, I know a little bit about what the excesses of prejudice can do.
Sure.
Against a public servant who is willing to go the extra mile to try to see that right is done. And that's just a personal thing. And, you know, basically, if you are endowed with more than your average, then you are expected to give a little bit more, I think. And I don't think it's going to kill you to do so.
No.
And,
well, in the long run, if we bolster the Social Security retirement system, that's going to inure to the benefit of the money.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Those people spend money like everybody else. And, you know, the thing about it is you have these people who really are determined to kill that program. That's all there is to it. They won't rest until they do. And the fourth and final thing is this, and this is just a personal thing, and there's one caller who has attacked you on the other programs, but yet has not had the courage to call you.
Oh, there's lots of those.
Well, there's one in particular. I mean, there's not really. And well, there's one in particular who really takes your name in vain. And I thought to myself, if you really want to go to war so much and love fighting and all this other stuff, you can't even best Bob Kincaid in a verbal exchange without getting your ass whipped.
Yeah, kind of. But I mean,
and you know, I'll tell you one thing. I think this individual, and I'm just going to say it, this is me talking, not you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Where I come from, people like that, we call cowards. Okay?
Where I come from, too. But yeah, but that's what happens with the right wing, Jim. They're cowardly by nature.
Well, there's no manliness to that kind of thing, Bob.
But that's,
that's
why I keep trying to explain to the decent people, you know, the progressives and the liberals, the Democrats, that all you got to do is stand up to this crowd once, and they will run away like whipped dogs.
Well, you know, I'm not for calling a man out for a duel.
No.
But, you know, I'll tell you something. If you got something to say to somebody behind their back, have the courage and the balls to say it to their face and not do that. That disgusts me. That really just
Jim,
rising in the gorge when I hear this individual talk, because half the time they're running their mouth, shooting it off, not knowing what the hell they're talking about, and yet they're trying to make themselves look like they're something they're not, and I'm sick of it.
Well, at least you don't have to tolerate it on this show.
Well, I know.
Because, a hero dies but once, but a coward dies a thousand deaths, and, you know, I think some of the cowards got tired of getting whipped.
Well,
I mean, and a lot of them did, frankly. So, and again, this has always been created, Jim, as a forum for decent people.
I understand.
For the liberals, for the progressives, for a place where we can share good ideas, for a place that we can share concert and common cause, and not have some wingnut hollering liberals.
Well,
because frankly, this country has been built from the ground up by liberals, and liberals are what have made this country good and in many ways great, and it is the liberals who are holding this country up right now against people who would sell our nation out by the acre, by the pound, by the penny to a gang of fascist thugs, and all there is to it.
Just like selling England by the pound, like that old song by Genesis, for sure.
Exactly.
And you know, like I say, I've heard you deal with some of these people, and I've never heard you treat them impolitely, except I did hear you tell one individual out of, you know, it had gotten to the point you said, please don't call this show again. And then, of course, you let him call back, which I thought was pretty gracious of you.
I'm a proud son of the old South.
Well, that's got nothing to do with it. It's just decency, and morality.
Yeah,
and just,
but it's part of my upbringing.
I understand that, but I mean, you know, you can be courteous and decent. You have been to these people, much more so than I would have been. I can tell you that right now, because I think you know what I would have said to them.
I do indeed, and I don't think it can go over the radio, Jim.
No, I'm not going to put it over the radio. I think I've already said enough. But, you know,
we got to take our break, though, Jim. Honest to goodness, we do.
But the lesson on mission accomplished, that's something people need to think about.
They absolutely do.
They really do.
But it's been forgotten.
It's
down the memory hole. Nobody even remembers George in his padded flight suit and the strutting around on the mission. That's all forgotten. No, nobody remembers Bring 'Em On, Jim.
I haven't forgotten it. And if I haven't forgotten it, that means somebody else hasn't forgotten it either.
Well, there's a lot of us that haven't, but you're not going to hear it. You're not going to hear it widely bruited about, except on shows like this one, or maybe on Mike Malloy's show on Air America, or perhaps Randy Rhodes, maybe Al Franken, Guy James from time to time. But you're not going to hear it on a lot of other shows.
All you need to do is just hear it a few times, and I'll tell you one thing. The truth is something you can't kill.
I hope you're right.
I know I'm right.
Well, we got to hit it.
Thank you.
Take it easy. All right, break time. We'll come back from the news. More of your phone calls to 252-6200. Outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. If you were having trouble getting through a minute ago, Feel free to try again. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The defendant, having been found guilty, is sentenced to 10 years imprisonment. Defendant will be remanded to custody immediately.
On September 15th, my son was sentenced to 10 years in prison for a gun crime. That day, he sentenced me to 10 years of worrying every single night if my baby is okay.
When you commit a gun crime, your family pays the price. Gun crimes hit home. A public service announcement brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Number 1,200,000.
This year, United Way helped provide quality child care for over 1 million families.
Number 1,200,000.
We took more than 700,000 homeless off the streets and gave them shelter.
600,900.
But none of the numbers really matter. What matters to United Way are the people behind them.
My name is Mary.
The independence we foster, the communities we unite.
Carla.
Those results go beyond the numbers. And for United Way, that's what matters. For more information, call your local United Way or log on to unitedway.org.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
You playing hide and seek with the kids?
No. They spilled chocolate milk on the new couch, and I'm counting so that I won't yell at them.
You bought a new couch?
Patience. Use it before you lose it.
10, 9.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For practical ideas you can use in your family, visit family.mormon.org.
News Talk 620 WWNR. Keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. After a day of highs in the upper 60s, it was quite comfortable. We'll head for 51 overnight with clouds and occasional showers overtaking the area. A steady rain tomorrow morning. Look for showers to continue on Thursday afternoon with a high of 59. Tomorrow night, looks like the rain continues. And Friday, no break either with a 1 in 2 opportunity for precipitation with a high around 69.
WWNR News Talk 620.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On for a Wednesday evening. Cold outside now in beautiful uptown Beckley. Cold. On the first day of June. Cold. Let's get it over with. Just bring the snow and whatever. Somebody somewhere within the sound of my voice is warm. And that's at least gratifying. Another great story of adventures in free trade for you real quick, and then we'll go back to the phones, 252-6200. Outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Email to bob at headonradio.com. I was wandering through Kmart. And, you know, I'm a nibbler. I like a little snack here and there. And I noticed that their in-store brand of candies were on sale for $1 a bag. So I picked up some gummy bears. I thought, you know, because, hey, on the label, and this sort of is a reminder, again, tomorrow night, God willing, Morgan Spurlock, author of Don't Eat This Book, he's a real fan of learning to read the labels. And you'd think that maybe I would have been paying a little better attention, but I was in a hurry, get in, get out. And so, you know, gummy bears, fat-free, okay? And, of course, the Kmart in-store brand, American Fair Quality Products. Well, I'm into the gummy bears, me and the kids, kids and I, whatever. Into the gummy bears and just turned it over. Big old warning! Packed in a facility that processes peanuts and other nut products. Well, okay. And a little bit lower, smaller print. Made for Kmart Corporation, Troy, Michigan. Now remember, what's the brand name? American Fair. Product of Mexico. Now, I'm not one of these guys that wants to go down and sit on the border and shoot immigrants. Love the Spanish language. I happened to be driving home last night when I heard a diatribe from Jerry Doyle about how bad it is to be bilingual. Huh? You know, study after study after study shows that children who are exposed to foreign languages at an earlier age learn better because it does something to the way their brains are wired up. That's right, Bob. It turns them into communists. No. So, you know, we try to expose our own kids, my lovely wife and I, a little "Do you understand?" in German. And then in German they know to reply, "Yes, I understand." So I'm not the least bit xenophobic. But this is, the gummy bears, this is free trade in action. Am I to assume from the fact that Kmart's in-store brand of gummy bears are made in Mexico that we've lost the recipe in the United States? Joke about a tourist on vacation in a foreign land, and he was desperately in search of anything on ice, the water, and he asked, "Did the guy with the American guy with the recipe for gummy bears die?" I know it's probably not necessary. It's a little silly for me to talk about, but for pity's sakes. What can we still make in America? And at this point, someone out there is saying, "But Bob, Mexico is part of North America too." I know that. And that technically it is American fare because it was made in North America. It was South America, whatever. It was made in the Western Hemisphere. I understand. But at some point in time, we're going to reach some sort of critical mass where nothing is made here anymore except, "Oh, wait, we still make bombs." Great. Can't make gummy bears, but we make some of the best bombs in the world. Are our national priorities a little bit bass-ackwards, do you think? Just a little bit? So I don't take anything for granted anymore. American fare, Mexico. Let's go to the phones. 252-6200 outside Beckley. It's 800-620-9967. Jose is with us. Hey, Jose, thanks for waiting.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm getting through, I reckon.
Well, you're the spelling bee champ.
Oh, no, I was like fourth in the spelling bee, and I'm still disgusted about it, Jose.
But you studied all those words that were put in the newspaper week in and week out.
And they threw me with
Hey, don't let that get you down.
I'm still bummed out. I really am.
That's a childish word, and we all fail with it at times.
And just watching that poor little girl trying to spell eviscerate brought it all back, Jose. And I'll probably wind up in therapy over it.
Well, no, you're doing all right. You keep coping over there.
I'm trying.
Because there's a lot of words out there. So you're a spelling bee champ, and you're 42, same age as my daughter, born in Alabama in 62.
Oh, my.
Right?
I was born 63.
Was you 63?
Yeah.
Well, she was. Well, I you said 42, and then I was subtracting it back one time, and I thought, well, he's born about the same year, 62, my daughter was. Bob Kincaid.
Yeah.
Now, her mother was a Beckley champ, runner-up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. People, it studies all them words. It's something. And page after page. Smartest people on the earth, ain't they?
Well, some of it's just rote learning, Jose. But I think, it's like learning a foreign language. I think if you do it young enough, it maybe gives you a few extra connections in your brain.
Well, you know it does. And could you spell every word in the Bible?
Oh no, no.
You couldn't?
No, I'm sure that especially if you start running through Chronicles, there's some names that would plumb evade me.
Would this slow you down?
Have to go.
That's where it's at.
Have to
they got some long ones. The whole chapter I was assigned to read it one time. It's something else.
I had
to get a tape and go over it and over it.
I had an ancestor named Salathiel.
Yes.
And that's somewhere in the Bible. And
that in Beckley, that fire engine, or
that's just outside the door. Apparently, they're in a right there on Kanawha.
Down beside you there.
But Salathiel threw me for a while, and a lot of those biblical names and the places. Oh, for heaven's sakes!
Uh-huh. Can I trick you?
You can try.
Nebuchadnezzar went to the congregation without any shoes. Can you spell that in four letters?
Nebuchadnezzar went to the congregation with... Oh, I like that. No, I'm stumped.
All right. T-H-A-T. Spell that.
T-H-A-T.
That's what I told you. Nebuchadnezzar went to the congregation...
Oh, can you spell that? Oh, I walked into that one, Jose.
Well, that's just simple things. That's like U-G-H.
Yeah. Washington's washerwoman washed Washington's woolies on Wednesdays. How many W's in all? None. A-L-L. See, you got me, Jose. It's always good to hear from you, my friend.
Hey, Jehovah bless.
And you as well.
And thank Christ.
You. And thank you.
Good night.
Bye now. All right. Boy, I got had. He did. He did it. Can you spell that? Oh. Maybe it's time to go home. Now it's time for a break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Forget the names of the people you met last week, even the people you met last night? How would you like to be able to walk into a room, meet 50 people or more, and recall all their names instantly? I'm America's memory master, Matthew Gerk, and I'll show you how to do it in the Memory Switch System, the fast, easy memory improvement technology for busy people who are embarrassed by their bad memory. In the Memory Switch, I'll show you how to recall names, dates, facts, figures, numbers, even business and technical data in a split second, and remember it for years. I'll show you how to lock information you see, hear, and read into your memory so you can recall it right when you need it for as long as you need it. Give me just one short hour, and I'll help you improve your memory so dramatically people will notice. Call now and try the Memory Switch risk-free for 30 days. 1-800-634-7380. Guaranteed or your money back. 1-800-634-7380. 1-800-634-7380.
Welcome to Green and Growing, the lawn care show with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, my kids say the lawn feels like their favorite cartoon character, soft and spongy. What's causing this?
Well, it's not a cartoon character, Diane. It's thatch. Thatch is mostly dead roots caused by improper mowing, watering, or fertilizing. But John Deere says a thin layer of thatch is okay, just no more than a half inch. It helps prevent ground compaction and holds moisture in the soil.
What if there's too much thatch?
A thick layer of thatch isn't good. It acts like a sheet of plastic to hold back water, nutrients, and air, all the things roots need to stay healthy. If you already have thatch problems, use a dethatcher.
What can I do to prevent this next year?
To avoid thatch buildup, follow the John Deere one-third rule and mow on the high side. Water your lawn infrequently but deeply, about an inch a week.
I will, Bill. Be sure to listen to the next edition of Green and Growing.
WWNR Beckley.
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
And Best. Don't forget Best. 18 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. You remember last week I told you about, about the American Family Association, Donald Wildman's weird little group. They finally gave up on Disney. Yes, John Kevy, even as you were enjoying Disney, the American Family Association was finally giving up its boycott of Disney. You noticed that you were there, John, before they gave up the boycott. You were the only ones there, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. There was nobody.
It was vacant. Just the whole and tumbleweeds going down. Right. Well, as it turns out, they didn't just give up on Disney for no reason. They've decided to go after bigger fish. week after it declared victory over Walt Disney Company and ran away. I love the way they write these things. A leading Christian activist group. Wrong on all counts. A low-rent, two-bit, mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking, anything but Christian group has fired... Who wrote this? Alex Johnson. Has fired another missile in its long war against companies it thinks are destroying traditional American values. Remember, whenever we see traditional American values, we ask, what tradition, which Americans, and what values? The target this time is Ford Motor Company. And the American Family Association says religion industrialists must boycott Ford because it's, quote, the company which has done the most to affirm and promote the homosexual lifestyle. Now, how is that? This is the Reverend Donald Wildman's group. Bizarre little man with his bizarre little hair. Very little hair. He's mad at Ford because they've donated money to gay rights organizations, human rights organizations, and Ford offers to give up to $1,000 to the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Discrimination for every Jaguar and Land Rover it sells. And this weird little group is also highly upset that Ford has sponsored gay pride celebrations. They advertised in gay-oriented publications. And they say that Ford is, quote, redefining the definition. Ow. I guess they're disassembling. Redefining the definition of the family to include homosexual marriage. That's what Randy Sharp said. Bless their little hearts, Ford says the AFA's selling them short. Marcy Evans, a spokeswoman for the company, said in an interview last Wednesday, or maybe it was today. Yeah, it was today, sorry. That the American Family Association was misusing diversity. Well, okay, they misuse the Bible, too. So at least they're consistent. By treating it as a code word for homosexuality. But Ms. Evans said, to Ford, diversity is a much broader definition than simply homosexuality. Diversity is very important to Ford, and it goes beyond homosexuality. Because we're all different, aren't we? We are all diverse. Blonde-haired people, red-haired people. And you see, these religion industrialists, these money-grubbing charlatans, they can pick any trait of or character that they choose and declare that to be again God's will. And they can call out their five or six boycotters. Because, as John noted, it was real empty at Disney World. Walked up, poor Mickey and Belle and Pluto and Goofy and Donald and Huey, Dewey, and Louie and Uncle Scrooge McDuck. They're just all wandering around with nothing to do because there wasn't anybody there because of the profound effectiveness of the American Family Association's boycott, bug spray. Bunch of liars. The quantifiable impact of a boycott based on religion industry principles is all but impossible to assess. That's fancy speak for it doesn't work, but they won't admit it. Astonish me. Oh, wait. There is no other organization quite like the AFA. Boy, that says a lot. Which in the past has taken on Crest toothpaste, Volkswagen, Tide detergent, Clorox bleach, Pampers, MTV, Abercrombie & Fitch, Kmart, Burger King, American Airlines, and S.C. Johnson & Son, makers of Windex, Ziploc, Pledge, Glade, and Edge. The current campaign against Nutrisystem reveals how much the AFA relishes the battle. The company's sin is to have aired, this is what Nutrisystem did to make AFA mad. They aired a television ad that the AFA found, quote, offensive and tasteless. And then, of course, the AFA really gets into telling them what's offensive and tasteless about it. This is Nutrisystem. And this is a cause of the boycott. Now, I want you to pay attention to this, okay, because these people want to tell, this is why the religion industry right is so scary. This is the evil, evil thing that threatened their traditional family values. This is their description, again, not mine. A woman in black panties, bra, and high heels is pushing a shopping cart through a supermarket aisle, the AFA says in an action alert on its website. A man stocking items seems to be lusting after her as she pauses in front of him, shown from a side angle. They zoom in on her stomach as the stalker glances up and down at her torso with a lustful smile. The panties are very low cut, and as she walks away, it is in slow motion. I didn't make a word of that up. This is all the AFA's work. How many times do you suppose that some employee of the American Family Association had to sit there and rewind that tape? Wait a minute, were they bikini panties or high-cut panties? That wasn't a thong, was it? Darn, it wasn't a thong. Was it a push-up bra? Dang it. Wasn't a push-up bra. Well, how high are the high heels? Hoo-wee, them some high heels! Let's see that again. Ethel? You gotta see these high heels. Honey, you got any high heels like that? Time and time again, just remember, it takes a dirty mind to make a dirty word or a dirty picture or a dirty statue or, in fact, a dirty commercial. A man stocking items seems to be lusting after her. Really, he seems to be lusting after her. Could that be, I don't know, projection? Could our dear observer at the American Family Association possibly be projecting his own unhealthy satanic lust onto the fellow stocking items on a shelf in the store? Then they zoom in on her stomach while the stalker glances up and down at her torso, just her torso, not her bazoom. Just her torso with a lustful smile. Emery, what are you smiling at over there in front of the TV? Nothing, honey. I see you. I know that lustful smile, Emery. You get it off your dirty anti-family values face before I call Reverend Wildman, make him come here and knock it off. Or he'll lay hands on you like he done last time. He will. Emery, you remember what happened last time we found you evaluating the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition, don't you? That's right. You finished writing your evaluation of that there heathen, evil Nutrisystem commercial, and you just get on into your corduroy pajamas and come to bed. These people want to tell you what you can look at, what you can read, what you can think about, what you can touch, taste, hear, see, smell. No, Emery, you are not going to evaluate the Victoria's Secret ad. I told you, get them corduroy pajamas on and come to bed now. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Thank you.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Governor Manchin, Senator Rockefeller, and other members of a trade delegation are in Japan this week to promote closer business ties between that country and West Virginia. During a dinner reception at the home of the U.S. ambassador last night, the honorary chairman of the Toyota Motor Corporation praised West Virginia for its hard workers. Toyota has a plant in Martinsburg that employs about 125 people. Dr. Shoyo Toyota invited the guests to visit the state's space at Expo 2005, the first World's Fair of the 21st century. The delegation is scheduled to visit the Expo's U.S. and Toyota Pavilion tomorrow. Two Huntington detectives plan to travel to Detroit later this week as part of the investigation of the slaying of four teenagers. Huntington police continue to focus on connections to Detroit-based drug dealers, but have declined to divulge details about the shootings. Police say 19-year-old Dante Ward was the likely target of the shooting at his home early on May 22nd. 18-year-old Edric Clark, 17-year-old Michael Dillon, and 16-year-old Megan Postet appear to have been shot because they were witnesses. Governor Manchin has directed state agencies to hold conferences and meetings at state parks when possible in an effort to increase revenue to cover park operating expenses. Manchin spokeswoman Laura Ramsburg says the governor encouraged agencies to look at our state parks first. But if the park does not have what the agency needs, organizers are welcome to take the business elsewhere. And today is the first day in 27 years that Lois Moore has not worked in the Raleigh County Magistrate's Office. Moore has retired as magistrate clerk after serving in that position since 1968. Rebecca Black was sworn in yesterday as Moore's replacement. She served as deputy magistrate clerk for 20 years, and Moore says Black won't have any trouble carrying out the clerk's duties, which include filing and managing magistrate court paperwork and records, among other responsibilities. So congratulations to Lois Moore. Forecast for this evening, chance of showers, cloudy, low near 55 tonight. Showers and thunderstorms tomorrow and cooler with a high only near 62. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Whatever else you think of our lawmakers, you have to be impressed with the amazing ingenuity, exuberant energy, and sheer determination they put into serving their favorite constituency, themselves. We've seen it in Congress, where lawmakers recently rejected a long overdue increase in America's wage floor, but did have the gumption to raise their own pay for the fifth time in the past 6 years. That's an impressive record of self-aggrandizement, but come on, I live in Texas, where our legislators make Congress critters seem like selfless statesmen. The Republican leadership in our legislature has hung a new slogan on our state capitol building: Texas, third world and proud of it. They have been so inadequate, so miserly in developing a budget that we rank down at the bottom of the 50 states in terms of providing even the most basic needs of our people, from public education to environmental protection. But these stalwarts have now stepped forward to deal creatively with a pressing issue for all Texans: how to increase the pensions of legislators. Cleverly, they didn't even have to take a direct vote on their pension raise, for the legislature has based its retirement on a percentage of the annual pay of state judges. Thus, they simply hiked the pay of judges by 22%, automatically jacking up their own pensions by this ricochet shot. As one clever legislator put it, "I am very strongly in favor of raises for judges." Even with such a deceptive maneuver, however, the leadership felt the need to add another layer of deception. It made sure that the pay hike for judges was done with no debate and no recorded vote, meaning that we the people can't know which members voted to fatten their own pay at a time they're cutting state services for people. As a Republican leader explained, "I'm not a supporter of record votes. I think they just gum up the works." This is Jim Hightower saying, in many cases, gumming up the works would be a good thing. Pond scum isn't as slimy as these legislators are.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library. So make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
WWNR Beckley.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Welcome back. 23 and a half minutes before 9 o'clock. Halfway done, and a little more than that. This is Head On for a Wednesday night. You know what that means. Prayer meeting edition. And, of course, the phone numbers are 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-WWNR. And I have to remember, I have to add this to the litany now, star 620 on your West Virginia wireless phone. See how easy we make it? Email to Bob at headonradio.com. Let's go to the phones. Chris is with us. Hey, Chris, you're Head On.
American Family
Association. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can I get an amen, brother?
Nah, I don't think so.
Chris, John and I were talking during the break about that Nutrisystem commercial. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
It takes longer to read the really lustful, hot, pornographic description of it than it does to watch it.
Oh, I got one for you. Did you read the little news tidbits on their website here?
No, I haven't been there yet.
Commentary and news briefs?
Oh, from the Agape Press?
No.
Oh, okay.
From AFA Online.
Okay.
The bottom one, Abu Ghraib is West Virginia's fault.
Huh?
Oh, yeah, baby.
No.
You gotta hear this.
You're making this up.
No, I'm not either. Okay, it's too long to read all of it. Mansfield is the a guy named Stephen Mansfield who wrote The Faith of the American Soldier.
Okay.
It's easy to do that voice, I think. Talking about...
Well, easy. You live in it.
I know I live in it. Talking about Abu Ghraib. So, Mansfield says, changes were made when a new unit replaced a unit from West Virginia that had been so discussed in the press. A Colonel Taylor over there, with whom I spent a lot of time, said that his instructions to those chaplains were, you be there every time there's a shift change, every time there's a prisoner interrogation, at meals, you be present all the time, the author explains. Mitchell says, thanks to the presence of the proactive chaplains, Abu Ghraib, Bob, hold on to your head. John, everybody, I didn't make this up. Abu Ghraib has become a model facility with no incidents since the earlier ones.
Nah.
Well, we get them dang West Virginians up there, they're going to kill everybody.
Well, it was the broom handling that was the bothersome part. Linda Englund. funny how quickly she made us all forget Jessica Lynch. She really is the Pentagon so desperately wanted Jessica Lynch to be the poster child for the Iraq War, but you know how it is here in Wild Wonderful. We're very competitive folk, and Lindy wasn't going to take that line down, and so she's the poster girl for the Iraq War. Oh God! It was them crazed hillbillies that didn't have the right religion that caused the problems at Abu Ghraib.
Well, I was looking in here at the, little tidbits, and there we were, Alabama Governor Bob Riley will lead the National Bible Association's effort this year to promote the reading and study of the Bible. Now, that's good.
Sure.
That's good, but it's going to get twisted around. In a statement, Riley says, God gave us the Bible as a constant source of moral and spiritual guidance. Funny, he doesn't act like it.
Well, and he gave us the Torah and the Quran and the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah,
and
the Bible should be celebrated and read every day, but especially during the week of Thanksgiving.
Okay. That would be next November?
Yeah. Let's see, what happens in November?
Oh.
God.
You got one of those coming around, do you?
I don't even want to think about it.
But you got to understand, poor Bob Riley, even though he's a Republican, Chris, that man's got to get out there and thump that Bible a little bit, because he is going to get his butt hammered by Roy Moore.
I'm moving to West Virginia then.
Yeah, I know. you're Governor Moore. Governor Moore and Moore and Moore and piled higher and deeper.
Oh, they've already told him he can win hands down. Boy, I'm just... Well, speaking of Abbey Grade in West Virginia, I mean, it is a... It's just wonderful that we have a Pope now that can understand torture. You know, he's heard about it. He's seen it. He may have even heard it.
He may have even done it.
He may have even done it. So, you know, what more can you ask? I mean, what more can you ask?
I think this is the part where we play It's a Wonderful World.
No, this is time for Tom Waits. It's a sad, beautiful world.
No,
they're talking to, well, they actually mentioned Benny Hinn on here. Did you see that?
No.
Where they're saying, actually, that Benny Hinn didn't...
Oh, that's the liberal media beating up on the good godly Benny Hinn?
No, he needs accountability, says Watchdog Group. And they're instructing people not to give money to Benny Hinn.
No, give it to the American Family Association.
Yeah. Let's see, they got...
They'll eat their own, won't they?
And get involved. NoGayMarriage.com. ChurchCoalition.com, OneMeAndDads.com, OneMeAndMoms.com, OneMeAndYouth.com. Oh, American Family Radio, I've got to check that out.
I'm trying to, you know, they really got their bandwagon going many years ago, back when Donald Wilden had hair. And I'm trying to remember who it was they were. It was some cartoon character. Oh, I think they came out against Tweety Bird because he didn't wear pants. I'm not kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I wouldn't lie to you.
Well, I'm not.
I mean, these people are, these are some of the dirtiest minded. Well, I have to be careful what I say there, Chris, because I think that normal human sexuality is not only acceptable, it's preferable, and it's beautiful. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's also something that's very, very private for the most part. And it should be done always consensually among adults.
Well, look at it this way.
But these people want to make it nasty.
What if we posted on the NASCAR website, boycott Ford? You know how many Ford fans there are?
Yeah, see, this isn't good. Boycotting Ford's not going to play well in the red states.
No, but I don't drive a Ford. I had a Ford one time. It was a piece of crap, and I've never had a Ford since. So,
well,
they haven't got me.
I was raised Chrysler. I'm out of the mainstream to begin with.
There you go.
Neither Ford nor Chevy was I. I was raised Chrysler.
My first two cars were Chevettes, and I wish I still had them.
you're absolutely right, Chris. I think they may. Well, but maybe the AFA thinks that they're getting. They're going to slide a little bit because they're mad at Ford because Ford has given these donations based on sales of Jaguars.
Yeah, them are
animal Land Rovers.
Well, I haven't been able to listen the last little while, last part of last week. I don't know if you've got on the Amnesty International thing.
Yeah, we beat on that pretty hard.
Oh, man.
It's just it's just sad because there's a lot of other stuff in there about what's going on in America that has nothing to do with the war.
I love this quote. The U.S. doubled the ceiling on the number of U.S. personnel deployed in Colombia in counterinsurgency and counter-narcotics operations.
Yeah, isn't it?
Colombian government in turn persisted in redefining the country's 40-year internal conflict as part of the international war on terror.
Isn't it kind of funny how everything that everywhere that somebody opposes us, we reserve the right to define it as an insurgency?
Mm-hmm.
Even when it's not our country, even when the people who live there that oppose us.
Well, you know that they mentioned Venezuela in there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a great. If you go to Yahoo Photos, and you search for Bush picture Venezuela or Bush picture devil. There's an awesome photo of a woman at a protest, and they're protesting the fact that the United States won't turn over a known terrorist.
Yeah.
But it's a brilliant piece of art on Bush's face, complete with the horns and the big pointy ears. I mean, they've done a devil job on him. And it's a magnificent piece of work with the flames in the back. Caption says, and it's from
7/8/28. Oh, I see it.
Yeah. A supporter of Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez holds a poster that portrays U.S. President George W. Bush as a devil during a march against terrorism in Caracas, May 28, 2005.
It looks a little like Manson with a crew cut. With the swastika tattoo and the Spock ears, the earrings, and flames got caught up in the horns. Well, that's priceless. But they're not upside down, so I don't know what you're talking about. But it's a brown-skinned woman holding that up.
Yes, it is.
We love you, baby. Where can we donate?
Chris, I got to roll on. Take it easy, man.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hang in there. Yeah, Yahoo Pictures. You'll enjoy it. I got a feeling this thing's going to show. There they got them liberals just calling Georgia Nazi again. Well, you know, I'm sorry. That would be Rick Santorum that referred to every Democrat in the Senate as a Nazi. You know, I don't care. We can get into you're a Nazi, no, you're a Nazi, no, you're a Nazi. You can call them out all day long. But the fact of the matter is, the question is, who behaves like one? Who behaves like one? Our friend Victor emailed me this particular article from TVNewsLies.org, and it's, where I have to read it to you. But it's called The Caging of America. It's a new acronym for what the right wing wants to do to us. Remember, CAGES, CAGES. And what they write is that, don't look now, but you've been had. You really think you know what's wrong with America, but you're wrong. And it's not the war, it's not the economy. No, it's the cages. The only thing the right wing wants to talk about are the cages. We're not talking about the cages at Guantanamo, maybe not just yet. The cages. C, censorship. A, abortion rights. G, gay marriage. E, evolution. S, school prayer. Cages. Every election from now on, especially if Bill Frist runs for president, we will talk about how the liberal media needs to be silenced. We'll talk about how America is not within God's favor because a woman has a right to choose what's going to happen inside her own body. We'll talk about how America's going down the tubes because of them gays getting all married up in Massachusetts. Interesting. I think we did. We passed the one-year anniversary of gay marriage in Massachusetts, and the earth hasn't opened up. No one's been swallowed. Evolution. That's got to go. Can't be talking about science now, can we? Nope. If you don't acknowledge that the earth was created in 6 days, and Adam and Eve screwed the goose by having a conversation with a gossipy serpent, and finally school prayer. And you hear it from people all the school prayer one really drives me nuts. Taking prayer out of the schools. Sorry, no. No, we haven't. It's never been removed. It's there in all its glory. But of course, what they want is for you to pray their prayer to their God the way they say their God tells them that he wants to be prayed to. That should frighten any devotee, any follower, any sincere believer of any faith. But, you know, the fundamentalists are fond of pointing out historically how the early Christians were persecuted and killed because they would not add Caesar to their worship. I believe this was during the reign of Nero, perhaps. And yet, by the same token, they want the government to establish prayer, a special prayer, specific prayer in schools. There was a time when I was being taught by the little old blue-haired ladies in the basement of the Southern Baptist Church where I grew up, when the idea of one of the school of someone in the schools prescribing just which prayer we would pray would have absolutely caused a riot at the deacons' meeting. How dare they? The First Amendment promises us that the government's not going to meddle in our religion. But apparently that doesn't work the other way around. The First Amendment doesn't guarantee that religion won't meddle in the affairs of government. Not a two, I guess it's the sword doesn't cut both ways. People of faith should be afraid, very afraid. Another article I was sent, and it's long. Oh, it's long, long, long. And it's a great read. It's called Soldiers of Christ. It's in Harper's Magazine. Harpers.com or HarpersMag.com. Buddy Gene also sent this to me. And I ran across this one excerpt. I will share it with you. And it's talking about Pastor Ted, who runs this mega church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. A really frightening place. Affiliated, I think, with the Assemblies of God. In Pastor Ted's book, Dog Training, Fly Fishing, and Sharing Christ in the 21st Century, he describes the church he thinks good Christians want. This is a quote. I want my finances in order, my kids trained, and my wife to love life. I want good friends who are a delight and who provide protection for my family and me should life become difficult someday. I don't want surprises, scandals, or secrets. I want stability and at the same time steady forward movement. I want the church to help me live life well, not exhaust me with endless, this is beautiful. Remember the whole, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it also unto me. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek. Remember Sermon on the Mount stuff? Sure. I want the church to help me live life well, not exhaust me with endless worthwhile projects. And by worthwhile projects, Pastor Ted means building funds and soup kitchens alike. It's not that he opposes these, it's just that he's sick of hearing about them, sick of hearing about the poor. And he believes that other Christians are too. He knows that for Christianity to prosper in the free market, it needs more than moral values, it needs customer value. You hearing this? Especially the people of faith. People attending his new life church, Pastor Ted writes with evident pride, like the benefits, risks, and maybe above all the excitement of a free market society. A free market society? What? Uh-huh? They like the stimulation of a new brand. Wow. Jesus is a brand now. Bless my soul. And he asks, have you ever switched your toothpaste brand just for the fun of it? Pastor Ted asks. Admit it, he insists. All the way home, you felt a secret little thrill. As excited questions ran through your mind, will it make my teeth whiter, my breath fresher? Well, at least Pastor Ted's not out there looking at Nutrisystem commercials. This is the sensation Ted wants pastors to bring to the Christian experience. He believes it is time to harness the forces of free market capitalism in our free market capitalism in our ministry. Jonathan Smith, or Adam Smith? Or no, John, I was thinking Jonathan Smith. Adam Smith is now part of the pantheon. To harness the forces of free market capitalism in our ministry. Once a pastor does that, his flock can start organizing itself according to each member's abilities and tastes, which brings us back to order. Key to the growth of evangelicalism during the last 20 years has been a social structure of cell groups. My lovely wife and I were talking about this earlier, and where else do you hear about cell groups? Yes. Fundamentalist Islam? Bingo! That allow churches to grow endlessly while maintaining orthodoxy in their ranks. New Life, for instance, has 1,300 cells. Such a structure is not native to Colorado Springs. In fact, most evangelicals attribute it to South Korea. What else comes from South Korea? Yes, the man who propped up Jerry Falwell University when it was about to go broke, the Reverend Sun Myung Moon. You win. Here's the exam question, though. When you heard all this business about deliberately commercializing the church and brand names and free market economics in Christianity, for those of you of my age and older, and some younger, did you immediately remember sitting around reading a dog-eared copy of a paperback science fiction novel? You do grok what I'm talking about, don't you? This is Magic Radio. Everybody who's read Stranger in a Strange Land, raise your hand. Remember the Church of the New Revelation, where there were slot machines in the church and specially branded beer and wine and liquor that was only allowed to be, the members were only allowed to buy that and not unsaved products, where there was specially licensed toothpaste? Church of New Revelation, Bishop Foster, Foster's Kiss, tattooed. This is just a knockoff of an old science fiction novel. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Honey, can you pour me some
water? Yeah, sure.
This year, United Way helped provide over 29,627 prescriptions for the uninsured and gravely ill in Wichita. We called upon 65 pharmacies, 100 social services, and 604 volunteer physicians. Together, we helped over 1,623 patients cope with pneumonia, hepatitis, even cancer. And it doesn't matter.
How do you feel?
The number of pills and programs doesn't really matter. What matters is each new day they make possible.
I feel great.
What matters? United Way.
WWNR Beckley. Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620. WWNR Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
You playing hide and seek with the kids?
No. They spilled chocolate milk on the new couch, and I'm counting so that I won't yell at them.
You bought a new couch?
Patience. Use it before you lose it.
10, 9.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For practical ideas you can use in your family, visit family.mormon.org.
News Talk 620 WWNR. Keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. After a day of highs in the upper 60s, it was quite comfortable. We're headed for 51 overnight with clouds and occasional showers overtaking the area. A steady rain tomorrow morning. Look for showers to continue on Thursday afternoon with a high of 59. Tomorrow night, looks like the rain continues. And Friday, no break either with a 1 in 2 opportunity for precipitation with a high around 69.
WWNR, News Talk 620.
Radio for the real majority. Head On.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 9 o'clock. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. I know we have some old sci-fi buffs in the audience. You have, many of you, read Stranger in a Strange Land. It's a beautiful book. Really, really thought-provoking. A lot of truth in it. If you heard that excerpt about this free market Church of Capitalist Jesus, didn't that just make you think a little bit about the Church of the New Revelation? Yeah. You grok. And moving on, I suppose, well, just so you'll know, I deliberately did not talk about the whole revelation about deep throat last night. Mark Felt, former number two man at the FBI. He said number two. Because I wanted to wait and see which way the discussion turned in Bushmerica. I had a theory. I didn't want to speculate before I saw it happen. So I took a couple of toothpicks this afternoon, and I forced my eyelids open, and I clicked over to Fox and made myself watch Fox. I may be in therapy for months over. But sure enough, just as I had thought, it was a discussion about poor Richard Nixon and how he never should have been forced to resign, and how the entire impeachment proceedings were a liberal conspiracy against a good, good American. Now, sometimes when you start throwing up, you'll pop those little toothpicks right out of your eyelids. But it was there in all its glory. Let's see. Mark Felt was a traitor to his country. I heard that. And I heard that he came out and admitted that he was deep throat because it was a liberal plot against George Bush. Really? I heard that. It was bizarre. Should we go back and rehash Watergate? Well, if rehash is what we're going to call it, maybe not. Should we never, ever, ever forget Watergate? I'm all for that. A bellicose, bloodthirsty, lawless Republican tried to subvert the entire constitutional nature of our government in his naked search, or his search for naked power. And he got caught. And as the newscasters have been saying for the last, and Richard Nixon became the only president to resign in disgrace. I thought he resigned in the Oval Office. If you resign from the presidency, how else do you, it's disgraceful, right? Bad journalism. Bad journalist. Bad journalist. But it was truly disgusting to see what was going on with Fox and to hear people actually claim that Richard Nixon should have been allowed to finish his second term because Watergate was no big deal. Do you feel that way? Was Watergate no big deal? Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Secord, Bebe Rebozo, Liddy, Dean, Chuck Colson. To hear the discussion where people are saying that if you work for the FBI and you watch criminal and you have knowledge of criminal conduct, you're supposed to shut up and obey the president. I heard it said. And it was one of those moments where you just think, oh, well, the Republic's doomed. Because for every talking head on Fox, there was some knuckle-walking mouth breather out there going, that's right, Richard Nixon was a good man. Only Richard Nixon could go to China. Don't you know? And it was historical revisionism at its most horrifying. Do not forget Richard Nixon. Do not forget Watergate. Let it live on. Remember the burglary. Remember Creep, committed to reelect the president. John Mitchell and his little box of money. Then burglars. Threats against, who was she, the publisher of the Washington Post. You tell her she's going to get her in a ringer if she doesn't lay off. And somehow, if you listen to people like Flesh Flemball, it's the entire raison d'etre of modern Democrats, because they got to take down... My friends, they took down a president, and that is the only thing that justifies their existence from that day to this. Really? And we spent how many millions of dollars over a stain on a blue dress? And we've got how many stories about Get Hillary GetHillary.com, StopHillary.com. At least my party had the common, and some principled Republicans had the common decency to go after a man who was showing himself to be a monster. Remember, it was, after all, a noble man from Tennessee, Howard Baker, who went to Nixon and said, "Yeah, you gotta go." And speaking of which, let's take a quick break and then come back to the phones. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. You got a line open if you want it. Also, *620 on your West Virginia wireless phone. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
United for the common good. Honor, the faith that dedication to a noble cause is right, just, and good. Country, a vow to support our nation's people during desperate times. Duty, honor, country. We're the Army National Guard. Call 1-800-GO-GUARD.
The Army National Guard. You can.
Sponsored by the West Virginia National Guard. Aired by the West Virginia Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street.
Yo, what's up, baby? Want to learn some history?
I got live learning, beautiful books inside.
And don't expect anyone to just offer you an education.
Who needs a high school diploma, huh?
Unfortunately, you can't buy a diploma from some guy with a briefcase. But there is one way you can get the educational skills you and your family need for free, with free family learning programs. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free GED, computer training classes, and other family learning programs. That's 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. Win your GED right here, guaranteed, huh? Come on, check it out.
After all, you can't get your education on the street. Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. The first step to a better life. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
WWNR Beckley.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage. Bob Kincaid.
Sometimes the bumper music doesn't work. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, and Ben is with us. Hey, Ben, you're Head On.
Hey there, Bob. This is Ben calling you from the glorious studios of WhiteRoseSociety.org.
How you doing?
I'm sweating in here because I had to turn off the fans so I could make a phone call. Because otherwise, all you would hear would be all the fans in here.
Yeah, it would sound like an aircraft getting ready to take off.
Or a jet engine. Yeah, a jet engine being tested, certainly. As a former, believe it or not, conservative, I was a libertarian for years.
Well, you proved that there's a cure.
Well, you know, I was a libertarian primarily for issues of liberty.
Yeah, stuff.
I don't believe in victimless crimes. I think that that the government should keep its nose out of my bedroom. I think that the government ought to, where possible, allow people to innovate without getting in their way, as long as that innovation does not reach the tip of my nose.
Radicalism, pure radicalism
pure
for the 21st
radicalism.
Century.
But anyways, the things that I think conservatives and libertarians and people who believe in very classical economic theory ought to be aware of is that Richard Nixon was not one of them.
No.
Richard Nixon, not only did he borrow this country nearly into oblivion, which we only, we recently had to cancel the whole space program was because we were paying for the Vietnam War.
Yep.
Okay, we had Apollo 18, 19, 20, 21, 23, and 27 all planned out.
Yes, we did.
We shut down the Saturn V assembly lines and told all the people making lunar modules to go home. And why? Well, because we had run out of money because we had spend it all on napalm.
And isn't that when inflation really began to take off under...
And he did two things that are capital sins to any conservative. He removed the tying of the dollar to gold. Until Richard Nixon, the dollar was tied to a fixed amount of gold, $32 to an ounce of gold.
Yep.
What is the price of an ounce of gold now? Like 400 something?
Yeah, almost 500 maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, and that means that there has been, in real terms, because gold is a real commodity, it's a real industrial metal, and it's really a store of value because it is useful in everything. It is the only metal that is suitable for certain things, and it will always have value no matter what goes on economically.
Right.
That means that we have had, oh, gee, almost 1,300% inflation since then?
that would seem to be what the math indicates. And,
yeah, that is exactly what the math indicates. He removed the tie of the dollar to gold, which I think was a very stupid thing to do. And the other thing he did was the wage and price freeze.
I remember those. I was only a kid, but I do remember them.
That not only was absolutely just totally abhorrent to anybody who believes in anything like a free market, but it was utterly unconstitutional. And both of those actions, I mean, he shouldn't be a hero to the right. He should be a villain.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's an opportunity to try to, with his latest incarnation. Well, it was like the resurrection of the deification of Reagan that we saw in the funeral last year. It's an opportunity to talk about how George Bush is the heir apparent to everything that's bright and beautiful in America. And of course, it makes no sense whatsoever. The inflation that went on under Nixon was passed on to Ford when he resigned. And yet, if you listen, Ben, if you listen to any so-called conservative commentator, when they get to Jimmy Carter, inflation, that god-awful inflation is all Jimmy Carter's fault. And no
all
one
his fault. I remember, I still have someplace around here an actual real original win button.
Do you really?
You know what a win button was?
Oh, I know. John Kepi and I were just talking about it during one of the breaks.
Whip inflation now.
Yep.
I also have...
That thing ought to be worth something.
I also have a Nixon now more than ever button.
Oh.
From 1971.
Oh, that's...
Yep. I save these things.
Well, yeah, sure.
I'll be worth something someday.
I thought I was the only man in America that still remembered when. I remember the press conference where Gerald Ford got up on the stage and in that reedy voice said that everybody needed to wear one because we were going to whip inflation now.
Yep. Well...
And yet Carter's the one who gets blamed for the inflation that hit the hit America in the late 70s, and it had nothing to do with the death of the Rust Belt or anything like that.
Nope. Or the fact that we had been that our debt service was killing us. That, you know, in an economy where you're taxing and then spending that money back in the economy, taxes have relatively little baleful effect upon the economy.
Right, because they're being neutralized by the
by
fact
the
that they're back into the economy.
Precisely. But in an economy where you have borrowed so heavily that you are paying your taxes you're taking in are going into debt service that are being paid into, well, largely foreign hands now, but even back then there was a large amount of our debt service that was going into the Middle East oil countries because they were buying a lot of our debt then.
And the Dutch and the English as well. The
right.
UK.
And that money is taken, then you have, you know, debt service money is taken out of the economy forever. You never get that back.
Well, that's, you're absolutely right, Ben, and that's what I try to explain to people about this bond issue we've got coming up here in West Virginia. We're going to issue beaucoup bonds on our pension debt.
Right.
And all we're doing, those bond, and that bond debt, whether we like to admit it on a national or a state level, that bond debt gets serviced before anything else.
Yep.
And if there's not enough, whatever, it doesn't matter. The bond debt gets serviced first and everything else comes second.
And there is absolutely, and you can, I believe it's the state of Louisiana, isn't it, where the where basically their debt service has gotten to the point where almost all the functions of the state government have shut down?
That or Texas?
Now, I believe it's Louisiana. I think Louisiana is almost without governance right now because of their debt service.
Well, you know, Chris called from Alabama. They're in much the same shape. So
Alabama, that's it.
So many of these red states are that way. Florida's in crisis. Texas is in crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we're talking about states on the verge of bankruptcy. And yet you still hear this same mantra that if we just kill the state a little bit more, you know, it's all that Grover Norquist, make the government small enough to drown in a bathtub business. Ben, what I want to know is what comes after the government's drowned.
Then I drown Grover Norquist in a bathtub.
It couldn't happen to a finer guy.
I mean, you know, let them come get me for that statement. But if he manages to drown our government, I would love to do the same to him.
Well, if he can say that about our government, you know, you and me, we the people, what is that? Why does this guy get accolades for loving America when he wants to actively kill it?
You see, there's a real problem here. There is a valid observation here, and that is that government is a blunt tool for solving most problems. Okay?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you can't solve them with government, but it means that, you know, there's always going to be some pork and some inefficiency, and you have to think really carefully about which problems you want to solve with government and at which level of government. You know, I mean, not everything needs to be federal.
No.
Certainly, you know, even in Illinois, where we've got a township form of government, you know, where the rural counties are divided up into townships, the township fixes roads, the township, you know, administers general assistance to people who need help.
Yeah.
And you know, my wife's a social worker. A lot of her guys are paid for by, you know, by the township. You know, so a lot of this stuff does not have to all be federal, but all of these problems need to be solved somehow.
Right, and we've seen time and time again that although the free market mantra is preached, the free market's not so good at some of these things. Because when you have to include either debt service or service to one's shareholders before the actual work of providing the underlying service can be done, you don't get much done.
There's a really wonderful book by a guy named John Gall called Systematics, How Things Work and Especially How They Fail. And I think there's a revised edition out now. I read it first back in the 70s. And basically he shows how systems grow to the point to where the system is no longer doing what it says it does. It is doing everything else, but it really isn't doing what it says its goal is anymore. And that's true of government, and it's true of business. That used to be the case back in the 1800s that a corporation could only exist for a fixed number of years.
Absolutely.
And that really countered this whole problem of a bureaucracy within the corporation getting to the point where the corporation couldn't do anything.
And that problem was created, of course, by the, at least from where I stand, by the declaration by the United States Supreme Court that corporations were persons.
Which was actually a mistake.
Yeah.
It was a reference to a previous ruling that had been misread from the transcript.
For want of a nail.
Yeah, well, I think there's going to have to be a whole lot of nails pulled and a whole lot of heads bashed together here soon.
Well, we can't go on like this.
No, we can't. We're going to go bankrupt. This country is probably technically bankrupt now.
And we're certainly paying the price for it, Ben. The email I had earlier in the evening talking about our Women's Resource Center around here and the funding and the hours that have been cut, decisions like that assume that they are of limited value. And yet, in our screwed-up mindset, of intense, immense value, on the other hand, are laser-guided bombs?
Exactly. We are repeating all the mistakes of the Nixon administration. Expect the evaluation to come soon. Expect another wage and price freeze or its equivalent. Because there is no other way for this administration to keep its economic balls in the air My guess is past December.
Right? You mean before the midterm elections?
Yes. I don't think he's gonna. I don't think he's gonna be able to make. It looks like he's trying to borrow until the midterm elections to keep everything going until then. And I don't think he's going to be able to do it. My commodities trader friend does not think he's going to be able to do it. He's betting on $200 a barrel oil by next summer.
I don't even want to think about that.
He's been right so far.
That's a terrifying America, Ben. I mean, you do realize what you're saying. I mean, we're talking about Chinese atonal music and riots in the streets, and $200 a barrel oil is going to.
We're talking about eating the rich. They'd better get out of here. They'd better be moving their money into euros now, and they'd better be planning their escape, because if there are any of them left here when that happens, goodbye.
Kind of makes you wonder about the megachurches.
Uh-huh. Well, they'll make good shelter centers.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Ben, thanks so much. I appreciate all the thought-provoking stuff. I'd forgotten... some of the stuff you forget about Nixon, and maybe that's the point. We need to do a better job of remembering it.
Yes, all of it, every single bit of it. There was some good, and there was a lot of bad, and we need to remember both.
Yeah, and keep it in perspective.
Correct.
Have a great night, Ben. Thanks
so
much. Bye now. Ben Birch of WhiteRoseSociety.org, archivist of this program. I had forgotten about the wage and price freezes. Well, I don't know. Wait and see. If you're a Bush voter, what do you do? Just pray that it doesn't collapse? Will that be enough? And what happens when it does? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A federal judge has thrown out a libel lawsuit brought against the Charleston Gazette by a former Putnam General Hospital orthopedic surgeon. U.S. District Judge Joseph Goodwin dismissed John King's lawsuit because he did not appear for a scheduled deposition earlier this year. King sued the Gazette for publishing statements that raised questions about the legitimacy of his surgical certification. King took issue with a September 03 story in the Sunday Gazette Mail, which questioned the quality of an American Association of Physician Specialists certification. The story quoted a spokesman for the American Medical Association and a spokeswoman for the American Osteopathic Association, saying the groups do not recognize certification from the American Association of Physician Specialists. King became the focus of criticism 2 years ago after some patients complained that they had more pain and problems after being treated by the doctor. It appears that most registered voters in the state do not know much about the upcoming statewide special election. Charleston-based RMS Strategies recently surveyed 401 randomly selected voters. Of the voters questioned, roughly 30% say they know nothing about the election. Some say 70%, that is, they have a very little awareness. The survey results were released in Tuesday's edition of Metro News Talkline. RMS spokesman Mark Blankenship says awareness is obviously an issue. He says that's not unusual for a special election. A dispute between federal prosecutors and defense lawyers has revealed extensive surveillance evidence in the ongoing probe into vote buying in Lincoln County. The evidence shows investigators used an undercover informant armed with a hidden microphone and video camera to approach suspects during the 2004 primary. These court filings also show a second informant has implicated Lincoln County Assessor Jerry Weaver in the alleged vote buying conspiracy. That's the news. Here's the forecast for this evening. Periods of rain. Low tonight around 52. Tomorrow rain likely with a chance of thunderstorms. Cooler. Tomorrow's high near 60. Tomorrow night a chance of showers with a low near 53. And a chance of showers and thunderstorms again on Friday with Friday's high in the mid-60s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
This is America on the Road. The Chevrolet Equinox. Max SUV is a smaller, less expensive SUV than Chevy's Trailblazer. We'll give you all the details on how it stacks up after these messages. Stay tuned. Hi, this is Jack Murad. Every week, Mike and I help millions of listeners make the right choices when it comes to their cars and trucks. It's not often that we come across a product so unique and beneficial that we give it the America on the Road seal of approval. Now we're excited about MotorSilk. MotorSilk is patented by the U.S. Department of Energy to save gas. Independent laboratory tests prove MotorSilk reduces friction by 80%. Less friction means you save gas up to 20% or more. Used for over 10 years by the military, government, and professional lubrication engineers, MotorSilk is a one-time treatment for engine, transmission, and fuel system. It outperforms all oils and additives for peak performance and protection. Get longer engine life and more power with MotorSilk, a must-buy for every car owner. Call 1-866-LESS-FUEL. That's 1-866-LESS-FUEL. Or go to evergreenamerica.com, evergreenamerica.com, and ask for your free 24-page catalog, 1-866-LESS-FUEL, 1-866-LESS-FUEL.
This is Mike Hansen. The new Chevrolet Equinox SUV shares its platform with the Saturn Vue, but the Equinox has a longer wheelbase and a longer body. Also, the Equinox body panels are steel, not plastic. The Equinox is a mid-size front-drive sport utility, and an all-wheel drive version is available. There is only one powertrain combination, GM's 3.4-liter V6. It's rated 185 horsepower, and it's matched to a 5-speed automatic transmission. Fuel economy is rated at 19 miles per gallon in the city, 25 on the highway. ABS is standard on all but the base model, and side curtain airbags are available for an additional $395.
This is Jack Murad. The Equinox is no speedster, but the performance is lively. It accelerates from 0 to 60 miles per hour in just under 9 seconds, and it's rated to tow a 3,500-pound load. The combination of long wheelbase and soft suspension settings gives the Equinox a comfortable ride, but it results in very unresponsive handling. The Equinox is not as refined as the Honda Pilot or the Toyota Highlander, but it is priced lower from $21,000 to $25,000. On a scale of 1 to 5, 4 tires and a spare, the 2005 Chevrolet Equinox rates a 3+.
And we'll have more next time on America on the Road from CBS, Westwood One.
WWNR Beckley.
You could be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Last 24 minutes or so of tonight's Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Straight to the phones, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967, and on your West Virginia wireless, star 620. We've got JP. Hey, JP, you're Head On.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm calling from Dawsonville, Georgia.
Oh, well, thank you. Glad to hear from you. I think you're our first official Georgia call.
Well, I love your program. You're one of the best people on the air. Of course, the airwaves are loaded with right wingers right now.
Yeah, it kind of narrows the choices a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
But thank you very kindly.
Well, what I called about is how the right wingers are taking morality and almost redefining it into something that's the most, you know, something I couldn't have even imagined something I could forgive as a sin as a child. How they've taken Jesus used to say, turn the other cheek. Well, what they've done is they've taken this war against terrorism and turned it into a war of vengeance.
Absolutely, and it's in many instances it's a war against us, JP.
Yes, it is.
And you know, to turn the other cheek turns into turn the other cheek to the one that's, you know, the side that's holding the Uzi.
You look at what they're doing to welfare, what they do to. You know, great ideas like universal health care, and they say right wingers will take it and say that's stealing, that's theft,
or that's communism.
Yeah, exactly. And they take something like what happened on 9/11, and they say it's because our country is so weak that all of this happened. But they refuse to blame the person who the president, you know, blame their own president for what happened.
Well, of course, and
commander in chief.
Right, and if it was, can you imagine, JP, what the outcry from the right would have been had 9/11 happened on a Democrat president's watch?
Yeah, I know what they'd be saying. I mean, they would be saying it's Bill Clinton's fault. They'd all line up and they'd be protesting everywhere Bill Clinton went.
Absolutely. Well, if they didn't just drag him out in the streets and have done with him.
Exactly. And then they call us unpatriotic. And the fact of the matter is, if Bill Clinton had started anything or passed anything like the Patriot Act, they'd be saying he's trying to break in, take our guns away, and all of this other stuff.
Yeah, see, that's one of the beautiful little things, JP. A lot of these wingnuts don't understand, and you know, I'm a gun owner, okay? I am. But they don't understand that there is a greater threat to gun ownership in this country coming from the Bush administration than from anything any Democrat ever did, because if Patriot 2 goes through, they can come and take them at will.
Amen. I mean, and that's what's scary of all. All this administration's about, it's not about any ideology. It's about redefining the truth so that they can claim everything they do is right, no matter how disgustingly immoral it is.
Yeah, and I was emailing with someone earlier today, JP, and we were talking about, you mentioned welfare and assistance to poor folks. It goes back, really, to George's daddy, you know, George the old guy, and his 1,000 points of light. You remember all that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's just, you know, it finally dawned on me, that is just a cheap, tawdry, pitiful way to say, we want to make sure that no taxpayer dollars go to help anyone who really needs it. And if nobody else will do the volunteer work on the private end, too bad.
Republicans, if it's under the control of Democrats and Democrats are using democracy to decide what the government does, Republicans don't want to have any part of it.
Oh, absolutely not.
They just want to throw stones at the government until they it's under their control.
Well, and, you know, so much of that was so evident in the debate over the right wing freak judges and Bill Frist's threat to use the final solution. You know, it had nothing to do. There were 200 years of Senate tradition riding on that, and all they could see was a naked grab for power in order to further destroy the government of this country.
Yeah.
You know, shouldn't that wake America up? But of course, America's busy with Michael Jackson, aren't we?
Yeah, well, that's why people like, you know, us are out there. We've got to make something out of this 2006 election. We've got to retake the, I mean, even West Virginia has a Republican congressman that...
Yeah, she's got to go.
Yeah, and my congressman used to be a Democrat, and he switched parties the second the Republicans took power.
I think I loathe those kind of people more than I do an outright Republican, because how can you trust them? Richard Shelby did the same thing in the Senate from Alabama.
Yeah. In fact, right before he switched parties, he was participating in that filibuster against health care.
Exactly.
And if one thing's going to kill the Republicans, it's this fight against health care, because eventually that's what's going to cause this country's second depression.
When 80% of bankruptcies are caused by medical bills,
yeah.
JP, I think you're absolutely right. Listen, it's been really...
Baby boomers are getting old, getting at that age where they need the health care.
Yeah, they are. They absolutely are, and they have been fostered in they have been brought up in a system that has contributed in large part to deteriorations in health. In Morgan Spurlock's book, we'll be talking to him tomorrow night.
All right.
He says, if you're not prepared to live healthy when you're young, then you better be prepared to live sick when you're old.
Well, keep preaching that message, and just think, we may have a Democratic Congress in 2006.
Well, I tell you what, you work at it, I'll work at it, and the rest of us will work at it, and if we work hard enough, we'll have change, JP.
All right, I enjoyed talking to you.
I enjoyed talking to you, too. I hope we'll hear from you again. Take care.
All right, bye.
Bye now. And let's see, Ed, calling down from Coal River Way. Hey, Ed, you're head on.
Yeah.
Thanks for waiting.
This Bob?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Ed.
Yeah, how you doing?
Fine, just down here on Coal River. My call is tonight, Bob. You had a gentleman earlier today, Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, yeah.
He made some remarks about the citizens on Coal River Valley.
Okay, was it Bill or was it Steve?
I believe it was the Steve.
Okay, yeah, that would be more like Steve because Bill's mighty fine people.
It was Steve. Deborah just said Steve. Anyhow, this young man or old man, whoever he is, I don't know when, Bob, he pulled his head out of the sand because he made some remarks about the citizens of the Coal River Valley. He said the only reason we got this issue at the Marsh Fork Elementary School, he said we made comments about the slurry dam. Mm-hmm. He says, I'm upset, Bob. This man told on national radio, said, the only reason we're making an issue about that dam, that we're hoping it breaks so we can prove ourselves right.
That's just sick, Ed.
And here's what else this man says. He started to go into the political part. He, you know, the Republicans or Democrats. I don't give a rat's ass, Bob, either way about a Republican or Democrat. I am strictly here to march and fight for our children at the Marsh Fork Elementary School.
I don't see how you can politicize.
This man, I would like to call him out tonight, Bob. I'm calling this man out a one-on-one on his radio show, willing to take callers. This man has to be in the same level as Don Blankenship. This man is sick. Anybody that could say that I love my granddaughter, Bob. I'm fighting for my granddaughter, and I'm fighting for 230 kids' lives. This man is sick. This man has got a serious problem, Bob.
Well, Ed, I tell you what. It's obvious to anybody who's following the story that nothing of this protest down at Marsh Fork has anything to do with politics. Anybody who cares to drive down Route 3 and see where those literally billions of gallons of toxic, poisonous, carcinogenic goo hang, maybe a quarter of a mile from where these children go to school?
Bob, it's a little over 400 feet from the school the dam is. And here's what's sick about this individual. We had to file a citizen's right to know to the entry reports to get the entry reports of that dam. The dam has got widely spread leaks and at the toe of it.
You're kidding.
No, sir. Yes, sir. We got this last week. This is something new that's come up. We had to file a citizen's right act to know this information. It was not public. They did not want to make it public, Bob.
It's leaking?
The dam is leaking, Bob. And they're back there blasting every day, every day. I live 6 miles away from this school, Bob, and my house shakes. What's this doing to this dam? This dam is sitting there every day at 4 o'clock. It's quivering. They let off a charge back here. This dam is quivering. And we also had a gentleman that actually worked on this dam project, building this thing, and they dumped it full of mud. DEP knows it. MSHA knows it. They dumped it full of mud. On the left side of this dam, Bob, has got mud in it. Now it's got leaks in it.
Well, I've seen a flyover photo, Ed, where you can see the blasting that's been going on beside it. But good God, man, I hadn't heard about the leakage.
Yes, sir, Bob. This is straight up. You know I'm straight up. You know who I am. I'm straight up. I tell no lies. Everything I talk about this site is the truth. And, Bob, it is a slap in the face to our children that they're wanting to build a second silo beside the other one. A slap in the face to our children. They have pushed our children out on the limb, Bob, and they're getting ready to shovel them off. Somebody give these people a .38 pistol, Bob, and they've stuck a pistol in there. I told the DEP down there at our permit hearing down there on this silo, I said, somebody's give you boys this pistol. You all put the bullet in it. You keep snapping it and snapping it and snapping it on our kids, Bob. That's what these people are doing, and it's getting ready to go off. These kids are getting ready to get shoved off this limb, and it's sad. These are some sick individuals. And I've done talk to people at the Capitol about these DEP guys. They had 10 men down there that already worked that day. They've been down there. They come down there, 10 of them now, Bob, on overtime to listen to all these people plead, cried. I've been listening for a year and a half, people pleading and crying to these people. And they sit there, they stare at you, they don't answer no questions. And here's what they're doing, Bob. They're turning their heads on their community. They're turning their heads on our little children. They're not standing up and doing their job. And I told them down there at the Capitol, Bob, I said, hey, why are you guys paying them? You looking for ways to cut the budget? Right here, snip this in the butt. Why are we paying 10 guys to turn on one tape recorder? You know, why are we doing it? Why is the taxpayers putting up with this? Paying 10 men to turn on one tape recorder to take back to their boss, and he reviews it. And, Bob, they set up themselves at the Capitol, and you know it about yourself. When they put these permit hearings and oh, I'm so upset. Excuse me. When they put these out in the paper for the public to read, it's a said and done deal.
Yeah, it's already
said
done.
It's said and done, Bob.
They're gonna listen. The one silo that's already there. It's my understanding they started building before they even applied for the permit.
It's a said and done deal. When it comes, that permit comes out in the paper, it's said and done. It's a said and done. We can go down there and cry. We can plead. We can beg. The state of West Virginia and us taxpayers are paying these guys for nothing. I see no reason for them continue to work. There's no reason for them to be there.
Well, I tell you, Ed. I tell you what. The thing that must be understood. And you're getting your story out right now. There's thousands of people hearing you, even as we speak, all over the country. And I hope they will understand, because most people, from the Coal River Mountain Watch Roadshow, you tell this to people out in the rest of the country, they look at you like you're crazy, because they can't believe that anybody would allow what goes on to go on.
You're absolutely right.
But what's got to be understood, to say that you want that dam to break because you want to be right
is God. You believe this was Steve O'Brien? Who is this guy? Where has he had his head all these for a year and a half that I've been out publicly speaking in people's rights? Where has this man been?
Supporting Massey, okay? I mean, That's all there is to it.
What's
got to be understood, Ed, is I know where you live, okay?
Right.
If that dam breaks, every child in that school dies, and everybody within how many miles of that school dies.
So you're telling me, Bob, that Steve O'Brien is actually putting a price on our heads, on our little children's head, too? By making this remarks, is he getting a payoff? Is he getting paid to say this? Such a ridiculous thing.
I think he really believes it.
How sick is this individual? He is a sick individual to say what he said on national radio today. To say the things that he said about our children, us people, us grandmothers, everybody down here fighting for these children, and this individual gets on there and says what he said today is sick.
Listen, Ed, you know, there are some people who stand with people. There are others who would rather stand with the money. Now, I think, you know, you've got a pretty good idea where I come from.
Right.
And there are others who think that Massey should be able to do anything it wants to, anywhere it wants to, deforest, destroy, as long as Massey makes its money. And I tell you what, it's money is cold comfort in a tragedy.
It's sick, Bob. I've never seen...
But I'll tell you what, I'm so proud of what you guys have done down there, Ed. I mean, this is some real, live, hardcore standing up, and I hope it goes on.
We're not quitting, Bob. This will not quit. We're going to fight this until the end. We're going to fight this until them kids are safe, and we're going to fight this until this site is shut down. There's no sense in what's going on. You've seen the flyover pictures of that canyon behind the slurry pond now?
Yeah.
I worked back here, Bob, when that woods was natural. I know how much water comes out of them mountains natural. When the Martinsville disaster happened, Bob, I had to go down there and clean that up. When we got back, Bob, our boss had what he called a 911, and it was to go up there at that slurry pond. We had some heavy rain. We had to put pumps in the back of the tailwaters of that slurry pond, run a line around the side of the mountain, Bob, and we had to pump that fresh water off. Why? Because they was worried about too much pressure then on that pond. They knew they had a problem then. Now they went back there, stripped out, canyoned out 1,479 acres and made a canyon out of this, nowhere for the water to soak into now. And if we get a 2.5 to 3 inch rain, Bob, the pumps I got back here right now will not keep up with the flow of water that's going to come into this slurry pond. It's already getting ready to bust. It's got leaks, it's got mud in it, and they're banging, and all this water's going to go into it. There's no way, Bob. I know what I'm talking about. I've worked on these pumps. I've run these pumps. There's no way that these pumps can keep up with the amount of water that's going to come off of that strip job.
Ed, thank God you're sharing that with us and letting people know. I tell you, the other thing we got to do sooner or later is we're going to have to involve the Board of Education. That's their
story. You know what their problem is? Miss Hutchinson at the Raleigh County Board of Education, she says she's not responsible for them children. She told me, I asked her, are you responsible for our children from the time they get on that bus until the time they get back? She says, yes. I laid a list of problems from the chemicals, from the fret plant, to the silo, to the slurry pond, to the strip job, and she says she's not responsible. But she's got teachers down there that died. She's got students down there that died. She's got black coal dust coming in her air ducts down there. You got teachers running the kids in from the playground from their recess, Bob, because of the coal dust that comes on the playground. But she says, Miss Hutchinson says, she is not responsible.
Oh,
she is a very wrong, sick individual, too. And the school board knows about this. They haven't stepped up to the plate and done nothing for our children down there. This is some sick individuals out there, Bob. This woman's money, I'll tell you straight up, her grandpa, Bob, I found out, I've done research on this woman. Her grandfather designed a swing arm for a long wall miner, for a deep miner. They got ties. Their roots go deep into the coal company. And they're not going. She's not going to do nothing to no coal company to hurt her royalties. Nothing, but she'll put a price on our kids' heads so she can get her royalties.
Oh, mercy.
And you know yourself, Massey Energy, you go down the river, their logo's on a school down there. Donate money to a Raleigh County school board. You come out in Beckley, you come out here in Glen Daniels, Fairdale, what do you see? Elk Run, Massey Energy, donates money to the school. What about our children? Why hasn't our children had a donation? Why hasn't our children had something done? She will not say nothing because she's going to lose her money. That's putting a price on our children's head again, Bob. Everything goes back to these people. All of them are putting a price on our children's head.
Well, I tell you what, Ed, you guys are doing amazing good work. And, again, please don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. Don't give up. As long as I'm here, you've got a voice, and I hope you'll take advantage of it. Please pass my congratulations along to everybody who participated yesterday. I'm so proud of them I could bust. We're out of time, though, Ed. Good to hear from you, and keep us up to date, okay?
I appreciate you, Bob. I'll be calling back.
All right, take care.
Bye.
I'm sorry to everybody else who's on hold. It got busy in the last half hour. You'll have that, but there'll be opportunity tomorrow night as well. The show tonight produced, welcome back, the inimitable John Kepi, tanned, rested, and ready. Engineered by Randy Curbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you, as ever, by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Also brought to you by our very, very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. As I've said before, I like to think that your safety, well, it's their business. The show is archived every night by Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Take advantage of the resource as it's offered to you, and remember that Ben's in a fundraising mode to keep the White Rose blooming. Like I said, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, about 7:15, we'll be joined by Morgan Spurlock. You be there. I'll be here. Hey, Agnes!
Yeah. Yeah.